Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, and verse 26. Let us hear this word of the Lord. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Thank you, Lord, for this reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Well, there's nobody up in the balcony this time, so I can walk back as far as I want. I noticed I walked back just a few pews, and all of a sudden I couldn't see them people. They couldn't see me. My brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it, you and I are in a war. And we've all seen it on TV, you know, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and just how it has come to us almost the instant it's happened. We've seen it. We've seen the realities of war, the victims of war, and seen the pictures. We've read the stories. And it's very real to us, all of the suffering. Some of you have been involved in that firsthand. But make no mistake about it, as Christians, you and I are involved in a very real war that goes on every day. For the devil is like a roaming lion seeking whom he may devour every day. And the devil is fighting desperately, because he knows time is growing short. And there are all kinds of ways, all kinds of tactics that the devil is using to fight us. Not so much in this country, but all over the world, in other countries, if you're a Christian, they'll haul you out of the house, cut your head off, shoot you, burn you, bury you alive. All kinds of persecutions going on to people who are Christians. Parents are doing it to their children. But it is very real. Being thrown in prison, being beaten. Here in our country, we're persecuted as well. We're politically incorrect. We're told to shut up, to put up, to change our ways. We're denied our rights, not allowed to pray, take down those symbols. There's just all kinds of ways, but some of them aren't quite so obvious. We are also being persecuted by the fact that we have too much. We have a lot of possessions. We have a lot of TV and entertainment. We've got a lot of games to play. We've got a lot of sports to go to, shopping to do. We've got a lot of busy stuff. We have so many things that distract us from being about the work of God. See, and that's persecution by the devil. The devil says, "Here, have more. Have more. I want you to enjoy what you got. Take this stuff and play with it. Go after this. Seek, search, have fun. As long as you don't pay attention to God, as long as you're not spreading the gospel, as long as you're not fighting a good fight of faith, I don't care what you do." There's a lot of folks call themselves Christian, but they're busy living their own lives according to what they want, their own desires. So when we seek and save those who are lost, we're not just talking about the ones who are outside these walls, but the ones that are inside these walls as well. So we are in a war. And like any war, it's being led by generals. You know, when you You have a war like I don't know, General Patton. General Patton, he wore all his ribbons, carried his gun, and he led by example as well as by experience. He had all those medals which said, this is what he did, this is where he's been. You know, any general, they have all those medals. And that's why people follow them. It's because they're a proven leader. They trust him. Well, the Bible is God's declaration to us that he's a proven leader. That the Holy Spirit can guide us and direct us anywhere because the Holy Spirit has been doing that for a long time. The Bible is, well, that's the chest full of medals that God wears. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Judges chapter 3, verse 10, chapter 6, verse 34, chapter 11, verse 29, chapter 14, verse 6, chapter 14, verse 19. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on him. And it's told again and again and again, because every time the children of Israel got taken away into captivity, or every time an enemy came into their country and persecuted them, the people would repent, they would cry out to God, and then God's Spirit would come on somebody, and he would raise up that leader who would lead the people in a revolt, throw off the enemy, and get back to serving God. But they were only able to do it because of the Spirit of the Lord that was on them. Psalm 51, verse 11. 51:11. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. John chapter 14, verses 15 and 17, which we just read up here. I will ask the Father, Jesus said, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. See, and when the world can't accept the Holy Spirit, which is what is in you and I as Christians, when the world cannot accept that because it neither sees him nor knows him, then what the world can't accept, the world can't understand. What it can't understand, it's afraid of. What it's afraid of, it persecutes. That's how it works in the world. We fear the thing we don't understand. And when we fear something, we try to destroy it. And that's the world's way of doing things. And that's why we as Christians are so persecuted. Because the world doesn't understand us. They don't get it. When we can love one another, even though we're so different. They don't get that kind of love. They don't like the idea that we give up our possessions to help other people. When the world is all about grabbing the brass ring and the more you have, the better off you are. The one with the most toys wins. The world doesn't understand Christianity. It says in John 14, verse 26... But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Will teach you all things. David? Yep. Kim? Give me five. Yes. You remember what I was telling you about the problem I was having with my truck tires? I didn't tell you? Well, then I can't remind you, can I? See, that's how it works. If I didn't tell David I was having a problem with my truck tires and tell him what it was, I can't remind him. Holy Spirit can't remind us of something we've never read. If you don't know what's in this book, you can't be reminded of it by the Holy Spirit. You can't be taught about it by the Holy Spirit. You have to be gathering together with other Christians. You've got to hear the word preached. You've got to hear the word taught You've got to spend time in that word yourself. And when you need it, the Holy Spirit will be there to tell you. Acts chapter 1. Well, we've used that lately too. Acts chapter 1, Jesus is telling his disciples, "Wait for the gift that my Father has promised. In a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." It's a gift from God. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." We don't get the Holy Spirit so that we can just be, "Oh, feel good. I'm a Christian. I get to go to church, yes, and have potluck dinners and have great picnics." There's a lot more to being a Christian than that. You know, we have those picnics and we have fun to build up our strength, our faith, our trust in each other now. But the gift that the Father has given us is power from on high. Power to stand up in the face of the enemy. Power to charge hell with a bucket of ice water. Power to go into a broken home and to declare the peace of Christ to it. To share love with people that we can't stand, that people to look odd, you know, that just drive us crazy. Power. We can't do it ourselves. There is no way you and I can fight the devil ourselves. And he is far too crafty and far too powerful for any one of us on our own. But when we receive power from on high, which is a promise from God, man, that's everything. Because greater is he that is. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in this world. When I say greater is he that is in me, I mean Jesus. I mean the Holy Spirit that's in me than he that is in this world, the devil, the flesh. Acts 2, verse 17, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people." God pours out his Spirit on everybody. It's there for the asking. Just open your life up, invite Jesus in, surrender everything that you have in your... See, you can't open up your life and say, "Jesus, come on into my heart and my life. Reign in me as king." And then go out and do your own thing. Nothing changes. If you go out and lead your life the way you've always been doing it, and you don't at least seek God's will and try to do things the way God wants them to do, it's just words then. It's like baptizing a child. The parents don't want them baptized. This happened to me. A woman hung around after church one day, never seen her before. She had her baby with her. She says, and when church was over, she said, "I'd like to talk to you." And I said, "Sure." And we sat down. She says, "I'd like you to baptize my baby." I said, "Well, I'd be glad to." I says, "I just need to ask you a few questions. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" Well, yeah. And do you promise to raise this child up in the household of God? Bring this child to church? Teach them Christianity? Well, I can't do that. I said, "I can't baptize your baby because it would just be water. It wouldn't mean anything to you. Wouldn't mean anything to the baby." Baptism happens in a community of faith. It's just words when we say, "Come, Holy Spirit," and then we ignore it. You know, we give a lot of lip service to God, but we don't put it into action. So you can't just talk the walk. You've got to walk the talk. Power from on high. Romans 5, verse 5. "Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." We're back to that power, that ability to love. See, that love isn't our love. You know, there. Take this bearded, bald-headed fella here sitting at the end. There ain't no way in the world I could love that guy if it weren't for the Holy Spirit in me. I love you too, Doug. Lord, give me the words here. I get on an elevator. When the door closes, I'll turn around and face everybody. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, I'd love to do that. Smile, say, how you doing? You having a good day? Is everything okay? God loves you. Then go, there goes one of them Jesus freaks. Oh yeah, that's right. That's me. I stop and pick up hitchhikers. I'm not telling you to stop and pick up a hitchhiker. I'm just telling you, I've got power from on high that gives me boldness. It changes things. It says here in Romans chapter 7, verse 6, but now by dying to what once bound us, the traditions, the ways of the world, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. We're no longer living under law, we're living under grace. We are serving in the new way of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes things new, changes the way things are being done. You know, the Bible tells us to no longer conform to the pattern of this world. No longer conform to the pattern of this world. The way we were raised up, the things we were taught to believe in, the values and all that, that changes, becomes something different. It becomes the kingdom. See, and that's, like I said, that's why the world can't handle us. It just upsets the world. Holy Spirit wants to do a new thing. In Romans 8, verses 5 and 6, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, separation from God. The mind governed by flesh is the mind that is focused on the material possessions, political scene, the sports, the entertainment, busy schedules, you know, distractions from God. But the mind focused on the Spirit desires what the Spirit desires. Okay. What good is a car without a battery? Rich Saporito was at service last night. A long-haired, long-bearded prophet. He was at the service last night, and when I said, what good is a car without a battery? And he said, well, it depends on where you live. And I knew what was coming. He says, you know, like if you live on a hill, you could get in it and coast down to the bottom. But without a battery, a car's not much of any good. What good is a lamp if you can't plug it in? What good is a kite if there's no wind? What good is a Christian if there's no Spirit, no Holy Spirit in our lives? We're as good as all that other stuff then. No good. We need the power from on high. The power of God's Spirit in us reminds us of everything that Jesus said and did. The power of God's Spirit makes us witnesses, causes us to prophesy, to dream dreams, and the Spirit also tells us about what is yet to come, even though it's not here yet. This is what the Bible tells us. Jesus said, you have to eat my flesh, drink my blood. Jesus is the Word made flesh. We need the Spirit. We need to plug in to the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that's going to guide us and direct us, change us, the way we see things, the way we do things, the things that we value. And with God, all things are possible. With the Spirit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because of the Spirit. So we need to pray and ask God for the Holy Spirit. You know, that is a daily prayer of mine, most days. God, make me an empty vessel and fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with holy boldness. I'm telling you, I couldn't do this without the Holy Spirit. I couldn't do this. Stand up in front of a bunch of people and yap and yap and yap, even though they're all saying, "Well, would he shut up already?" But anyways, to carry on about God, to move my family from one place to another, I couldn't do it without the Holy Spirit. I couldn't go out into the community and witness without the Holy Spirit. And I can't begin to tell you about the doors that God opens up. Just amazing. The doors that the Holy Spirit just opens up before you. You run into people. And you pray for somebody and they say, "Well, I really needed that today." It wasn't coincidence. It wasn't good luck. It was the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Let's pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And Lord God, help us. Help us to be all that you want us to be. Pour out your Spirit upon us, God, for it is our prayer right now, each and every one of us, that we are empty vessels filled up with your Holy Spirit. We pray for those who aren't here, that they too would be empty vessels filled up with your Holy Spirit. We pray for revival in our church, in our community, a revival of your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, take root in this place, in our hearts, in the ministries of our church. Explode and guide us and direct us in the way that you would have us go. Fill us with holy boldness. We ask it in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. God loves you, and so do I.